woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Hello, welcome back to Stacey Jacks. I'm Tom Howley, just about Weber on the board. SB Futures, quack, 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 quack. We're heading south there after a few days up. SB Futures down 88, NASDAQ Futures down 222, Dow down about 700. So, I kind of figured this was going to happen. But I was hoping I was wrong, but not. Kevin, how are you?
Doing all right.
What,
doing all right. Interesting times.
Interesting times. And I just get to, Kevin, one of the reasons why we did so well, even after a little bit of time, it wasn't like there weren't mistakes. In World War II was that Roosevelt put George Marshall in charge well before the war started. And now you can argue back and forth about how much more transparent Roosevelt should have been in a country that was totally isolationist at the time. You know, I don't know. Some people said he played it just right. He waited until the tone changed. Other people said he should have told people more. I mean, who the hell knows, depending on what history you write. It's like what you read right now. But bottom line is, even though we didn't have a lot of money the Congress would pass to build stuff, he essentially gave Marshall a 2 or 3 year job to wean out, to go from what the term used to be peacetime generals to wartime generals. And essentially, anybody over the age of 65, they had retire, and the people that were good, they, you know, promoted up that maybe weren't as politically correct as some of the people were up there. And so by the time all this started, we actually had a fairly trim and pretty good officer corps. And I just get this nagging feeling, and I know people have been nothing but give me crap about it, that our leaders are peacetime generals and we're in a war. And I just get this odd feeling that they're locked into their decisions, they're a slave to what they said the day before, they're willing to hype just to keep people, you know, crazed that what they're doing is correct. I just get this really bad feeling, and I don't know if it's just me being grumpy or what it is. But I just...
Well, I don't know. I mean, the president isn't locked into what he said the day before, because he pretty much says something new every day.
Well, you know what I mean. But I mean, I see some of the stuff, and most of the interesting things I get from, I don't know if it's Cuomo or whatever, but I don't really know the man very well, but I read something last night. I was getting bored with this World Series 7 game. God, Kevin, that thing was long even without commercials, for God's sake.
What did you do, watch the Cubs again?
Yeah, well, but I still, it was four hours.
I saw that a couple days ago.
It was 4 hours without commercials. God's sake. I mean, anyway, it was long. So.
Well, see, these are the kinds of things, though, Tom, you want to record, so then you can fast forward and at least get the commercials out of there.
You missed this, my friend. They took the commercials out.
Oh, they took it, so you were just getting nonstop, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, even when they brought in a pitcher, instead of watching the guy warm up, the next guy was pitching right away. Anyway, but so I'm reading this thing from Cuomo. So guess what? Out of this whole mess, I wonder if I'm on planet Earth, if it's time to get spaceship Earth, if it's time to get off, because now we have this problem with the ventilators. And Maddie and I, you know, obviously we No matter how many we have, the fact is we'd like to have enough, okay? So anybody who comes in who needs one, we all know that. And whether the number is half a million, million, we hope it's way less than that, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a few extra. I mean, I think we all agree on that, right, Maddie? But now, guess where we're buying them from? The Chinese.
Oh, just based on the question, it has to be China.
And we're outbidding each other. We're up to 25 grand a ventilator. And FEMA's outbidding.
Well, and I get that on the bidding. It's a strange situation for a couple of reasons. One is that you know, a couple of days ago, and I sent you a message about this. Obviously off air. And Cuomo was talking about this at some length, but essentially he said, you know what, the way our system, the way our is designed, the way our process is designed, nobody in their right mind would ever do that.
So, right.
You know, the and there's so many barriers to changing it or to making it work. Some of them are political, some of them are commercial, some of them are bureaucratic, and it doesn't matter. He said nobody would analyze that and say that's good. He said the problem is it always takes a disaster for us to discover this. And this sort of gets into what I discussed last week. I think it was last Wednesday when you say, you know, when you have to, when I had to take over dysfunctional departments, everywhere you turn, every time something pops up, the first thing you say is, okay, how do we do this? And the second thing you say is, what in the hell were you thinking when you set it up that way? And so you spend the first. The first, I don't know what percentage of the time, undoing what's wrong before you can even respond to what's screaming at you.
Manny, can you do us both a favor?
We have this problem. Now, how does this crop up? How does it pop up in the governors all bidding against each other and then ultimately the federal feds bidding against the governors? It's because we have this Model State Emergency Health Powers Act that goes back to 2002 where the governor said, we want the authority to fix all of this. We want the more authority to deal with local disasters. So we passed an act that set it up so that they would each be able to operate independently, never imagining that the disaster was all 50 states, not just one.
Manny, can you do us a favor since you're very, very good at this? Can you figure out what the normal price of a ventilator is? Is that possible?
To find out what the normal price of a ventilator
is? Yeah, is it 25 grand, like double or third higher? Or
I can try.
And how many people's thumbs are in the middle? I got to believe that there is a, what's Trump's slimy son-in-law's name? A guy like him or a guy like Hunter Biden or somebody like that's got their finger in this pie between here and China. You can absolutely guarantee it, Kevin.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, and you know we know, and I'm not going to get into the individual politicians, but we know a number of politicians whose families have their hooks into China,
yeah.
From a commercial standpoint. So yeah, we absolutely know about that. But you see what I'm getting at
is
now you have we've pushed the ability to react to the governors and given them the authority, and so now as they exercise the authority 50 at a time, we got a problem. If it's one or two states or even three states with some kind of, you know, a hurricane or something like that, then that works. But now you're sitting here saying, what were we thinking? We have a nationwide emergency, and it's like a Three Stooges episode where everybody tries to get through the door at the same time and they all collide at the doorway and fall backwards.
Well, but seeing it happen, we seem to be able to get on, you know, I'll take a shot. We seem to be able to get on TV and shove our face on TV 2 hours a day. God, within 2 feet of each other, everybody else needs to be six. Why can't we actually do some work and say, stop this? Call all the governors and say, how many do we need total? Let's us buy them and we'll spread them around or something like that. I mean, plus we got Ford making them or parts. My nephew works at he does a lot of those big machines they program. Their place has stopped every other order they have, and all they're doing is making parts for ventilators. So it's not like America doesn't.
Oh yeah, I have a student who's going in and they work every day. They make boxes and they're making the boxes for packaging ventilators.
So I mean, the stuff.
By the way, it says that ventilators, obviously there's many different kinds. home care ventilators, transport ventilators, low, medium, and high acuity ventilators, high frequency ventilators, non-invasive positive pressure ventilators, and then they have different gas delivery designs like turbine-based air supply and proportional solenoid and valve control or a combination.
So for $5,000 to $500,000.
They say between $5,000 to $50,000.
All right.
So
well, good name for a rock band, by the way, now, up-and-coming rock band, The Ventilators.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
So why do I get the feeling we're buying the $5,000 ones for $25,000 from China?
Well, we may very well be, and again, part of the reason that it's a little bit hard to herd all these cats known as the governors is that some are more prepared than others, too, that you have, you know, because they've all had funding allocated to this, and there are some states that have been, you know, they're prepared, they're drilled, they're ready to go on this, and there are other states that are completely clueless, and they have no preparation whatsoever, and so you have to deal with that problem too, and there's probably to some extent the ones that have prepared are like the little pig who built his house out of bricks and saying, well, you know, am I going to let you guys in?
Yeah.
Just because you built. I don't know. You certainly have some parochial interests like that.
Well, so
it's just, you know, this is what I mean is, you know, you get this situation, it happens fast, and it happens, and in real time, you have to undo before you can do, and it's really, really hard to do it.
But
that
Kevin, the real time now is, I mean, we have obviously people ill. If you talk to anybody in the hospital, obviously we did yesterday. Well, she was in a clinic, but still.
Yeah, get her back on.
Oh, yeah, she's terrific.
Time.
Well, but Joel was not happy when I referred to him as Wally Pipp. He goes, I know she didn't say that. I was listening. I said, okay. I said, your wife called you Wally Pipp, and he's like, ah! But anyway, she did not. We love Joel. But I mean, it's again, Kevin, it's the world you're in. If you're in the hospital, I mean, I go back to 8 weeks ago when I listened to the guy on the podcast today. Actually, AV sent me. The dude, he's been on all the different things now. But he was saying, you got to be careful because if you send kids home from school, 38% of people who work in hospitals, you know, nurses have kids in school. If you send them home, you're going to cause a problem with your personnel. Now, here we are, 8 weeks later. Not saying you should or shouldn't have closed the schools. I'm saying that is one of the things that happened. No man can do just one thing, right? That is one of the things that happened. And now, when you dig through a lot of the people talking at the hospitals, it's probably 50% more patients, and it's also 50% strain on the staff, some of which because kids are home. So, I mean, it's not like this doesn't all work together, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and when you make decisions, especially when you make them fast, sometimes you regret parts of it. Sometimes you regret the whole decision, everything about it. And sometimes you get it right, but yeah, that is one of those add-on consequences that makes it very, very difficult.
Well, you know, one of the matter of fact, talk about a wacko story. I always talk about my class I took with Milton Friedman. The part I leave out sometimes is that it was the only class really I took in the economics department at the University of Chicago that actually was in an auditorium, and their biggest auditorium was maybe, you know, 120 seats or something. It wasn't like it was, you know, 500 like you get at, you know, some big state university freshman year. But so Milt goes through his routine. First he tells me it was a two-semester, two-quarter course, and I didn't take the first quarter. So I go see the guy. Of course, I'm 6'4 at the time. He's 5'3 at best. He's sitting there, and he goes, oh, yeah.
He was wee folk, wasn't he?
Well, then he says, don't worry about it. First half, you know, we took care of the first half. Just be the second half. You'll be all right. That was the interview. So out I go. And so, of course, the second half, he says, by the way, the test is going to cover both quarters. And I'm like, say what? So he gives a test in class, and he gives you this take-home. And the take-home is exactly what you're talking about, Kevin. And it's exactly what I criticize these people for not doing. Maybe they should have taken so they had a deal at the University of Chicago where, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, you could audit a class, not audit, you could audit a class, but also you could take one, and when the first test came out, if it was over your head, you could withdraw and get like three quarters of your tuition back. So there's like 120 people in this class every damn day. We get to the finals and there's like 15 people there. Me being one of them, going, uh-oh. So everybody else took one look at the take home and said, I'm out of here. Or else we're auditing the thing to start with. Most of the people in the economic school would always audit a class before they took it. So you had second timers that you were competing against. None of that happened in the business school. The business school really just wanted out. So I'm sitting there, and the answers were like just what you said, Kevin. The questions were like a Time magazine quote. Could be anything. What if I decided to do something with employment, this, and this. Explain how this percolates through every level of society. Or something like that. You're sitting there going, but it was always some very simple, Federal Reserve increases the money supply by 2%, from 3% to 5. Explain how this percolates through like every walk of life. I don't think these guys do that, Kevin. I don't think they take the time to say, okay, I'm gonna make this decision. Let's take a day or two and I'll sit down and figure out if I do it this way, what happens to who, or at least make it. I don't think they look forward, or to the extent that.
And we know that when they pass legislation,
yeah,
that the unintended consequences, they always have to go back and undo some of that,
or they don't.
Just live down the unintended consequences. But either way, it's because we write 1,000-page bills and then we pass them, hours later or a day later or something, where nobody has time to read it, let alone digest it.
Didn't there used to be, and I was never a government major, maybe we have, somebody, a listener probably knows more than us. I used to, when I was Maddie's age, let's put it that way, I used to recall whenever one of these bills came through, there was like a scheduled time, 6 months, 9 months, a year after, and there was a name for it, Kevin. There was a something-something bill, a red herring bill, or a red something, something where you actually took the old bill and took out basically the crap and fixed it a little bit. And it was actually scheduled to do, and it was very routine. I have not heard of that in 20 years. Have you?
I haven't, and I'm not sure I had even heard of it at all, which is, could just be a matter of age and forgetfulness. But I agree with you. I think you need to schedule a review period. Call it a postmortem or something like that if you want. Which people do in the business world after projects all the time. So I think that kind of thing makes sense. The other thing that makes sense is, anytime there's new regs, they put it out and there's a comment period. And everybody has a chance to read, comment, and reply back to the regulators. Doesn't that make sense as an approach to legislation? That, not only is it, of course you get a public comment period, it's going to be nothing but lobbyists who get a hold of it, but regardless, some kind of period for digesting. It's supposed to work that way, where you digest it, you debate it, you go through some period of time before you pass it, and then you go ahead and vote. Why we don't do it that way, why we rush things through as soon as it's published, good, let's get closure and go, makes no sense to me.
All right, here's a big question for you and
Manny.
That's
how we do it now. It's a totally dysfunctional way to operate.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys both a question. Is Congress, and whoever else, doing this because they're just a bunch of bleep-ups, or are they doing what society wants? I've never seen as much clamor for this bill, pass it tomorrow, pass it tomorrow, pass it tomorrow, than anything on earth in the last week. Do you think the public...
In this case, yeah, and I'm sure they're doing it in part to quell fears, to say, look, we got you, we got it, you're going to be okay. Well, I still don't think a lot of people think so, but regardless, I think the intent to hurry there was to just calm fears, and that's okay. That's a reasonable intent, whether you agree with the result or not. But in most cases, why do we do it? I think they do it because they want to get stuff passed before people really figure out how bad it is.
Well, I also was reading a thing the other day, and a gentleman, he's our age, Kevin, or older. He goes, here we go again, another massive transfer of wealth, just like the Resolution Trust, just like 2008. When all is said and done, you're going to have Amazon buying up Macy's for 4 cents on the buck. You're going to have this massive transfer of wealth. He didn't mention that. I just lobbed that one out there as an example that maybe didn't have to happen. You know, I don't. When this whole idea that this bill is somehow going to stop the ramifications of how many 100,000 retail people are going to lay off this week? I mean, we'll know tomorrow when the numbers come out. But Macy's talking about 150,000. Hey, my doors are closed. You closed them. I'm out. I'm not hiring anybody. I'm not paying anybody. What the hell's the matter with you people? How can I? I mean, what is the matter with these people? You know, keep paying.
Well, and
keep
that, paying. That was supposed to be the point of the corporate side of the bill.
Nowhere near.
You keep people on your payrolls, and because once you fire people, that's another, you know, that's a different can of worms.
I'm looking at
you know what? That could have been that. Whether it was or not, I still haven't read it. I haven't read over anything, even a decent summary of everything that's in the bill. But that certainly could have been a provision. You want money? Fine, it goes right to payroll.
Well,
so whether those funds are completely fungible and you redirect something else where you don't want it to go, that's different. But if the funds go directly to payroll, then you can keep people on as somehow some kind of furloughed employees.
All right, I'm gonna lob this one out there without giving my opinion. Although, like Tom Selleck says, so is out my mouth. You know what my opinion is. March 11th, total Fed assets $4.3 trillion. March 18th, $4.7 trillion. March 28th, $5.25 trillion. As our buddy David Parks, who helps me out a lot by writing stuff in, says, at this rate in 22 months, the Fed is going to own every piece of paper that the government has ever put out. There's like $16 trillion of debt out, or 17, or I'll go into the debt.com on the break. But I mean, at some point here, and then we have, you know, president knows nothing or else doesn't care, talking about an infrastructure program because interest rates are now zero. Doesn't he understand, Kevin? He's the buyer and the seller. He's the only buyer of government notes at these levels. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, when is our population?
Makes an interesting concept for a balance sheet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Assets, liabilities. Okay, what do I have here? I can make it balance, but I can't make any sense.
It's like Brendan was saying yesterday. I don't know if you listened in. Probably did. He says it's not like the rates are down and in public schools and everybody can go out and borrow. Because the only buyer at that level is the Fed. Nobody's going to lend you money at 1 or 2%. I mean, why would anybody? So what the Fed is doing, Kevin, is every market there's a difference. I should have somebody sent me something the other day and somehow I deleted it like an idiot. It had to do with two levels.
Teach them about the trash bin.
I know. Two levels of recovery, and one is, it's a bridge loan or something where you're gonna give me some money because business is slow. I'm still in business. It's gonna pick up, and I'm going to pay you back. That was like one of the definitions. The other was basically I'm just out. Give me the money. You're never getting it back. No way, no how. I'm toast. I mean, at some point here, as much as I hate to say it, because it's going to infect people I care about. I mean, hopefully not us, but people I care about. People you care about, people Maddie cares about, someplace along the line, it's not about, you know, XYZ Corp's commercial paper. Nobody wants to buy it at this level, or at any level maybe, but say at this level for sure. Why would somebody want to buy Joe's commercial paper if he's not doing so well, unless the commercial paper goes to 10, 15, 20%, as much as you don't want it to go there? But now, the commercial paper market looks like crapo. So the Fed piles in and starts buying this stuff. I guess there's a difference what I'm saying, Kevin, to create liquidity. Liquidity means there's a momentary lag in people who would normally want to buy this paper that can't. So if the Fed steps in and does that, I'm all for it. But to me, they're blind about the fact that the reason why nobody's buying it is because nobody wants it. You start buying that stuff, all you're doing is pissing away their dough, I mean, our dough, right? Because these places, some of them, if this goes on till the middle of June, 30% of these places are going under, Kevin. I mean, there's just no way about it. You
it's,
can't.
It's not. It won't just be the small guys. It'll be bigger guys.
You can't. If there's four people on a plane between now and it's 4th of July and we're still doing this, I don't care what you do to United Airlines. They're gone. I mean, if
so what are we going to name United after? After the government owns it.
It's not just them. I was on Iraq Island the other day, Kevin. I was one of two people on the whole train. I mean, you're not going to keep the thing running between now and July. Who the hell's going to pay for it? You're not going to have any public transportation. Somehow or other, we got to get out of this mess. I mean, it better not be Memorial Day, like what I'm hearing. It better be before that. Even if you get the people like Kenny Polcari, get that, you know, whatever test out there to see people that have had it. Let them go back to work. You got to do something here. I mean,
Okay, we're coming up on break. Yeah. I got a couple of things to get into. We can hold education until Friday if we didn't get it. But in business law class last night, I thought it would be germane to the students to see how the authority works for declaring emergencies and other kinds of declarations.
Lou wants to follow up on that tomorrow, too.
So we took apart some of the declarations.
All right, bud. S&P futures, actually, down 83, not good. NASDAQ futures down 208. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly's Mr. Matt Werber on the board. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Kevin, I don't think that Matt Werber likes the fact that I was thinking about him so much on break here, because I was going through the 17 key personality types. I'm trying to find him in here somewhere, but I got him.
I read that. I didn't see one that I thought pertained to me, but who knows? Maybe I'm a combination of all of them.
When you saw the selfie, who's the first person you thought of?
Thomas.
Not Dr. J?
Well, Dr. J, too. They both love the selfie.
God. I had you in there as a police enforcer kind of guy.
No, I don't talk to anybody.
Those guys don't talk. They just write. Anyway, S&P futures down 80. NASDAQ futures down 202. We have Dow futures down 720, so not good. Just as a refresher from yesterday, we were up 3 days in a row, but yesterday we were not. Dow was down 410. S&P futures down 42. NASDAQ down 74, so that's a big bump. You start putting a 42 on top of the 80 today. It's 120 points. The S&P, that's 5%, and that's obviously not what we're looking for. Around the rest of the world, we've got the same thing going on. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 374. That's 3.8%. FTSE down 203, 3.6%. CAC down 187, 4.2. So CAC was not down yesterday, so they've done a little bit more today. In Asia, same thing. Nikkei down 851. That's a number. 4.5%. Shanghai down 15. It's only 0.6%. Hang Seng, which was down yesterday, down 517, 2.1%. Bonds, 61.61 here, so that's pretty low. To Bund, minus 4.49. Japan has ducked negative again, but minus 0.001, so not all that negative. Oil up 14 cents, but 20.62. Now, remember, we've talked about this, and I want to go into it again today, but some of these areas have serious basis problems. What I'm saying is, don't think for a second that if you're pulling oil out of the ground, depending on where you are, that you're getting 2062. I'm thinking the basis in the Permian, if you're not right near one of those, I don't even know if all the pipelines are done yet. I don't think they are, but if you're not near one, your basis risk could be 12 to 14 bucks, which means if you got a barrel of oil in the Permian, it's probably worth $7 to you there, which is not so hot. Brent down 93 cents, 25.42. Natural gas, 164. RBOB gas down almost 6 cents, 53 cents. That's unreal. Gold is up 590, back over 1600, 1602. Silver, though, minus 11 cents, 14 bucks, because it's in the middle between the copper down 6 cents. Silver is somewhat of a, it's not really a precious metal. It's still more of an industrial one, so it trades more with copper sometimes. So it's not going anywhere. Maddie, none of that's good news. Hope you got something better. What do you got for traffic, weather, sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one significant issue in the area, and that's a vehicle fire down on I-80. The fire cleanup has begun, and it's now just blocking the right lane on the westbound side of I-80 just before LaGrange Road. So keep that in mind if you're heading westbound on 80, because that's our one issue in the entire Chicagoland area. No issues at all coming in on the Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower looking good. Same for the Northside Expressways. Suburban Tollways are all quiet, as is Lakeshore Drive. Off the expressways, one issue of note, Ashland Avenue is closed due to a fatal crash on the southbound side between 69th and 70th Street involving a bus and two vehicles.
Now, do you think those guys were going to speed limit?
Probably not. This happened in the 5 a.m. hour at 6840 South Ashland and has Ashland closed between 69th and 70th due to that fatal crash. Probably not going 30 miles per hour if it was a fatal crash, although it's possible with the bus involved and everything else. But everything else is looking okay out there. Weather today, another cloudy and cold day, although we could see some sunshine this afternoon. We'll reach a high of 45. Right now it's overcast and 37 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, it's going to be a hot one today. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 86. Right now it's mostly clear and 62. On this day in sports history, Chief, an interesting one from 1930, April 1st, 1930, former Cubs catcher Leo Hartnett set the Guinness World Record of catching a ball from 800 feet in the air. A ball was dropped down from a Goodyear blimp, 800 feet up in the sky in Los Angeles, and Leo Hartnett caught the ball, and that was the Guinness record, 800 feet catching
what
a fly ball.
What did it do to his hand?
Good question. On this date in 1985, the 8-seeded Villanova Wildcats went on to win the national championship on this date, Chief, as still the lowest seed in NCAA tournament history, beating Georgetown 84-75. Of course, Georgetown heavily favored in that game. And on this date in 2001, the Notre Dame Lady Fighting Irish won the national championship, beating Purdue April 1st, 2001, 68-66. Ruth Riley was named the tournament's most outstanding player.
She was spectacular. Remember that game? I actually remember
Ruth
that
Riley
game.
Is one of the few people who can lay claim to a pro championship, a college championship, and an Olympic gold medal.
Wow.
Wow, good for her. I remember that game, Georgetown. They had a guy. It was Patrick Ewing was there, right?
I believe he was in 85.
Well, the
it was Ewing, and Villanova had lost three times already to Georgetown that season.
Wow. They played them twice, and they
lost the tournament. They lost two regular season games, and they lost to Georgetown in the Big East tournament.
They had a guy, with all respect to John Thompson, they had a freshman on that team. I mean, it was... I heard Dr. J say, like, it was like he had let a prison out. They had a fresh, remember him, Kevin Graham?
Yeah. Yeah, he wound up at the normal resting place for guys with his background. He wound up at UNLV.
I thought he was a freshman. He was just gone after being a freshman, right? Did he ever
I think he resurfaced. We can look it up. But
I thought he never even went to a school. He was gone the minute the season was over. I mean, it was like one of those deals.
The last chance you before there was last chance you.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you were mentioning the so you don't put where do you put Maddie in this mess? I don't know. He's not. You don't think there's a spot?
Oh, I'd have to go look through the list. He whatever it is, he's going to be skeptical.
Yeah, I looked at it, and you know, I didn't really see one that I thought jumped out at me, and I was trying to be as open to it as possible. But yeah, I tend to be a little skeptical, that's for sure. But I think that's just from being on this show and listening to Chief every day.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to do number four here. I'm ready. I figure downstairs we can put seven people 6 feet apart. Now, you were supposed to buy the VCR, Manny. Let's go down and watch some movies, have some beers, and order a couple of pizzas. I can't stand this being at home by myself every night. Just saying.
Go sit with Audrey.
Yeah, Matt, tweet out the list. It's a list of, what is it, like 17 types of people and their basic reactions to this. You know, I found myself, you know, fitting into several categories there.
Action-oriented, the organizer. This type is always on the move, trying to impact his environment. I can show you how to make your own hand sanitizer. We can build plastic shields, have a social distance meeting, discuss how we're going to divide duties the next month.
We had a family event on Sunday that I organized. We had my aunt passed away from
that's not good.
She had been really seriously ill, and you know, she had cancer and had been very sick. So she was on the countdown clock, and she passed away. Well, obviously we can't get together, so we got the extended family. We had let me count, at least three generations, maybe four on there, and we had four. We were anywhere from California to New Hampshire, New Jersey, Chicago, St. Louis, you know, all kinds of places, and we had everybody on there, and we raised a glass to her and then hung out for about an hour and shot the breeze.
Kevin, I'm just going to lob this one out there. I want to talk about what you were talking about before the break. Let's just say the peak of this thing is in the third week in April or so, like everybody's saying it's going to be, or the fourth week. Okay, and if you look at the incubation period, that tells me that way more people have gotten infected since we sent them home than before. Just saying.
Why would it tell you that?
Probably in numbers, yeah. Again, I don't know how much of it is just we can count better and how much of it is...
A lot of it's that.
...is absolute truth. So you have that issue. And then, you know, as you start to pile on top of that, really happening. But Carl's been pretty good with the numbers and
he's coming on
and
Friday.
The models and all that. So,
by the way,
I'm sure you have him booked. You have him coming on Friday or next week.
He's
after
coming on
the
Friday.
Unemployment.
He's coming on right after you. So don't be the animal act. You know.
Oh, okay. He's coming on Friday.
Good. You know what, though, Kevin? As we've mentioned, I've mentioned a bunch of times that I really thought if there's any blame on this, but I think there's basically a bleep load of blame. It's in the Chinese not telling people early on, and corporations here sending their people back and forth to that province when they probably knew something was going on. I mean, I think Boris Johnson's got it figured out. Look, screw these people. I mean, they knew this was happening. They didn't tell anybody. Anyway, having said that, I'm getting more and more emails and calls from people saying, I mean, I got one yesterday from a guy I've known forever. He says, you know, my wife had something exactly like this, like the second week in December. And she went to the doctor, and then he just kept saying she had an unknown virus. He goes, it had to be this. The idea that this didn't get here, that didn't start till late January, February is crazy. And I'm sorry.
Well, I agree. I had a speaker lined up for one of my classes the first week of the semester, and she had to cancel because she was sick. And we couldn't, and we kept trying to reschedule her a week out, and she was sick a week out. She couldn't, you know, had all the breathing issues, had all of the symptoms. And so with hindsight, it looks like that. I also had a student in February who, you know, wound up taking the rest of the class from home and coming in via live stream, because she had the same thing, the breathing issues, the, you know, just the general, tired all the time, you know, everything that they describe in there, and, you know, she took the body blow, and she's a smallish young woman anyway, so I wouldn't call her athletic, just, you know, really, really little, and, you know, probably not equipped to take a major punch like that. So, you know, I'm with you that as you go back, and a lot of people are saying this. Oh, I can think of someone who, now that I look back, probably had this too.
All right, Kevin, you were talking before the break. You were.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you start with the state of emergency declarations. You know, and those they're typically used for natural disasters like tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and things like that. And, you know, they exist primarily to open up the affected areas to additional money and additional aid in rebuilding. Whether it's a state disaster area or a federal disaster area, it doesn't matter. It releases a bunch of funds and activities for their way. But it's such a vague term. So, for instance, in the state of Virginia, the way the law is written, it just grants the governor broad discretion over, and I'm reading this quote, over production of and distribution of foods, evacuations, and other measures found necessary. It's solely at the governor's judgment. So, you know, one of the lessons when you hear those kinds of things is, you know, when this is all left solely to the governor's judgment, think about that when you cast a vote.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Is this someone you trust in a disaster situation? Is this someone whose judgment you trust and whose discretion at exercising the power that comes with it you trust? So, you know, you can go, you know, under the category of what could really happen. Well, in France now, you have to carry a paper declaring that you're only leaving your home for certain permitted activities. You got to have your paper. Is that coming our way? And, you know, maybe.
Kevin,
you know,
let's,
we know what we have in Chicago. You know, authorities in New Jersey, for example, have the power to keep people away from certain spots due to concerns for public health, and you're seeing that exercised in the Chicago area. In Florida, DeSantis had a phrase to take. His declaration said he could take any action necessary for public safety. So, you know, you can always file a lawsuit and see if you can get a restraining order. Good luck with that, and half the courts are closed anyway. In Indiana, and we're my class is in Indiana, so we got pretty Indiana-centric. The governor declares the disaster. It's a 30-day declaration. He has to renew it after 30 days if he wants it to continue. and that activates a bunch of response plans. But you know, the way the declaration law is written, the governor has the authority to deploy and use any forces to which the plans apply. He has the authority to use or distribute equipment, materials and facilities as he sees fit, to allocate drugs, foodstuffs, and other essential materials and services. Think about that for a minute. Who gets them, who doesn't?
How is this?
Governor's authority.
How does this slap right into the Bill of Rights?
And he also has the right to suspend or limit the sale of alcoholic beverages, explosives, and combustibles. Okay, well, I sort of get the explosives and combustibles, but Lord knows we need our alcoholic beverages in times.
Why are people putting up with this, Kevin? I mean, the change in tone is dramatic to me, and I don't have any problem with somebody having the Board of Health or whatever you want to at least call it, the Board of Health now, the people that are in charge of the Center of Disease Control and so forth. I want to be kept up on everything, but stop short of telling me what to do. And you know what? I don't get anybody who agrees with me. It's not a soul. It's one thing to say, because I think Americans are pretty smart and are willing to do what's right and to protect themselves and their family. If you're going to say, by the way, it looks like you could possibly catch this thing from a maximum of 6 feet, blah, blah, blah. So if you want to be safe, it's probably a good thing. And it's quite another to say that if you're 5 feet away from somebody, I'm arresting you. Where do we, I mean, even these, this, I can't stand the man, but Ackman comes on TV. No, you, the governor, should tell people they have to stay home or they're like going to jail. No, Ackman, you don't get to tell me to stay home. Screw you. You know, I mean, if I'm dumb enough to want to go to a measles party, let me go. That's my decision. You tell me what the measles is all about, whatever, but if I'm going, I'm going. Where did we cross this line, Kevin? To advise people and to tell people how to take care of themselves means you get to tell everybody else what to do. I mean, where did this happen? Did it happen like when I was sleeping some night or what?
Well, and we're, you know, if you are going to limit some things, where's your line?
Yeah. Well, there is no line.
And that's, you know, that can be part of the problem. So maybe I don't want a crowded beach in Florida, but do I have to tell everybody to stay inside? And if I see you within within a few feet of anyone, you're arrested. Let me give you a couple of more out of Indiana, and then I won't get into the declarations themselves, which we picked apart last night. This also includes the authority to suspend the provisions of any regulatory statute prescribing the procedures for conduct of state business or the orders, rules, regulations of any state agency. In other words, we can suspend the law. Now, you know, that goes back to what we discussed earlier with Cuomo's commentary yesterday, or was it the day before, whichever it was, that, you know, maybe you have to cut through some of the BS, but you know, it's kind of, that word any is pretty big. It's only three letters, but it's pretty big. The other is subject to any subject to any applicable requirements for compensation under Section 31 of this chapter, commandeer or use any private property if the government finds this action necessary to cope with a disaster emergency. Sorry, Tom, we want your house.
Well, I mean, we
need your house to distribute stuff. Now, it's more likely to be a business or a store or something like that. But any private property means any private property.
Well, that's why whenever people write something like this, you can always count on the people in power to give themselves more power every single year. That's why Thomas Jefferson basically said, "What, we need a revolution every 200 years or something." Now you would never write that. That sounds like the powers they gave Hitler when they get rid of the General Assembly, right? But when they're going to write it, the government's going to say, "Oh, give me anything. What if I need this place? What if I need?" And they'll say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." But all of a sudden, you and I read it, and we go, "Wait a minute," because in the words of William Simon, freedom is not something government gives to people; it's something people take from government. I don't think the young people today know that. I mean, you think people went off to World War II so some chump governor can tell you how far away you got to stand from somebody?
Well, and maybe a good way to do this is, you know, you can sort of see the intent behind here. We have a disaster. We need to mobilize, and we can't have, you know, a lot of stuff get in the way. Okay, we go back to the declaration being a 30-day declaration. Okay, if the governor can just renew it, then it's an indefinite declaration.
Right.
If, on the other hand, the renewal can only come through a state legislature,
that
softens it a little bit.
It's different.
That makes sense. That makes more sense to me anyway, that, you know, okay, the governor's going to seize power because it's necessary. We, you know, the tornado hit last night, and we have this local area that is a disaster. But on the other hand, if you're just going to seize control of the area indefinitely, I'm sorry, legislature's got to vote on that before we give you that kind of authority.
If we were to imagine, okay, there's a reason why Rome had a two-council system. People don't know that. They also had the ability in times of crisis to essentially appoint a dictator, which they did, I'm going to say, more than you can count on two hands. And they would get somebody who might have been a retired general or whatever. He comes in. There was a war. He knocks off the enemy, and he says, I'm going back to my farm. See ya. And heads off. They actually relinquished power, and off they went. I don't think anybody's questioning that in times of stress that a more streamlined governmental system might be more, quote, efficient. But there's a difference between having 25 people from society get together in a room for 2 weeks and write that, whatever you want to call it, that bill or that piece of the legislation.
Well, it's legislation. This is backed by legislation.
But I'm saying, it's a big difference.
Powers are to declare
but
a disaster.
It's a big difference between having some members of the community write that out and letting the governor write it. Because they're always going to use the words that are just a little too slippery, like you're pointing out, Kevin. Those kinds of things. It's like me giving a class on option trading and say, usually that's how things behave. Is there a slipperier word in the English language than usually? What do you mean usually? Can I bet on that one? Well, not exactly, but usually, yeah. I mean, you and I, now that you read it, you and I would never let that go through.
I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't. I would put, you know, all kinds of checks on that. That, again, I get the, you know, I get the original reasoning anyway, but then it gets to, okay, how long does this get to continue? And, you know, a week? Does a week make sense, or does 10 days make sense, or something like that? I don't know, but whatever it is, yeah, you need the legislature to move, and the legislature's not likely to move on ratifying a disaster declaration overnight, especially if the disaster affects the legislature. But can the declaration have enough time, can declaration expire in a time period that allows the legislature to ratify it? And that way, at least you have representative government from around a state, who can say yay or nay. That would be a step in the right direction. I might still not be comfortable with it because it's the same legislature that passed this in the first place.
But I think something should be in there to the extent that, in other words, you talked about if I was going to actually write a Homeland Security bill that maybe cared more about Homeland Security than just lining people's pockets and taking away rights. How's that for a shot? I might anticipate that if we had a dirty bomb in Chicago or a biological weapon on Michigan Avenue, and all of a sudden we had 200,000 people. I might anticipate, since we probably would cancel the show anyway, having all kinds of room in McCormick Place, having all kinds of room in United Center, maybe the new DePaul Arena, those kinds of places. I could certainly see those places being set up for triage, but I would certainly use the word, we have the right to take for temporary use any appropriate place. Something like that, that if it wasn't appropriate, a judge could say, hey, idiot, that wasn't appropriate. You don't need my basement, you know what I'm saying, just to be an ass. You don't get to take my house because I was bitching it in the air, you know what I'm saying? But that thing that you just read, Kevin, is devoid of any statements like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, that's Indiana. I don't doubt that everyone is like that. In fact, there's probably some that are way more draconian than that. I think we need to know that. And then, when you turn it around, think that through next time you have a race for governor, because we've put that kind of power in a governor's hands, Is this someone you really trust with that kind of power? You know, trust to use it judiciously. Lou is real fond of saying, you know, how character matters in a leader. It matters a lot in situations like this.
Well, you know,
Competence matters, character matters.
Well, then I think we're in the right hands.
Well, Jay?
I'm talking about with our president.
Oh, no, he's talking about governors.
Character and confidence.
No, he's Kevin's talking about every governor's got this now. There's 50 of them.
Yeah. So it's all of them. And actually, I think the team that's been working, that's been assembled for the federal government is pretty good. And, you know, we'll go back to some of what I said earlier in the show is, first of all, you have to uncover everything that's all bleeped up and figure out how to overcome it. So it what looks like inaction for a while is really just trying to sift through all the nonsense and figure out how you can get anything done. But that's a pretty competent group of people that is, you know, that stand behind the president. I just wish he would make some opening remarks and then turn over the microphone and not talk himself.
Well, I think Kevin.
He first of all, he gets all the information from them, and then as he tries to interpret it, it comes out all wrong.
Well, I just
or
think,
not all wrong, but
I just
a lot
think,
wrong.
Kevin, somewhere along the
but
line,
second, all the, is they're yeah. the ones that instill more confidence anyway.
But there are people. We'll talk Friday, Kevin. I was going to say, I don't think he got the phone call from Tim Cook or somebody like that saying this thing is really bad or where you better do something. Tim Cook was more worried about himself, and that's a problem, I think. Anyway, S&P Futures down 88. Kevin, talk to you on Friday. NASDAQ Futures down 223. So we're not getting any better here. We're right about where we were. Come back, we'll have Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, just from the Weber on the board. Yeah, Professor Russell Rhodes calling in on this dismal day in the market. Just as I said before break, we've been hanging right in here. No, we're not. Now we're down 94. NASDAQ futures down 241. So we dropped 10 points during break, Manny. So, yeah, 10 points in a spooze. They used to be a whole day. Now it's, yeah, a couple of minutes during a break. What the hell? Russell, how are you?
I'm all right. I hate to wake up to bad news like that. It's the beginning of a new quarter. It's a chance for us to gain back that 20% from the first quarter by making 25% this quarter, which is what it takes.
Which is what it would take. Now, don't confuse people with math at this hour, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I saw one of your trades yesterday. You stunned the whole world. You got everybody all nervous.
Which one was that? Because, you know, there's just huge blocks going off that have my name on them.
Absolutely. So get a load of this. As you don't, I don't know if you've ever traded the Russell, but you know the Russell, well, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite indexes.
Because it's the Russell. Russell. Uh-huh. Anyway, yesterday things traded like 116, right?
So yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, I get the feed from the Dr. J.
Can I guess? Because I think I know which one you're talking about.
All right, fire away.
Somebody bought like 60,000 of the 95 puts.
Close, but not there.
Okay.
92 okay. puts.
The 92. Oh, okay. Maybe so that's the same one that I was thinking about.
That would
involve a catastrophe. I kept looking to see if that was tied to anything else.
So that's a 25% move.
And it's the April options. It wasn't a cover, and it looks like it wasn't tied to anything else. Looks like somebody was actually hedging against the second down leg, and it happening in 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. It's this Friday.
Oh, I thought they were the April.
No. April 3rd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 25% move by Friday.
This Friday. You mean, were they the quarter end ones?
April 3rd.
April 3rd? I thought they were the Friday Aprils.
No, and they ended up trading 221,000 of those things yesterday.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's hope they're wrong.
I had the strike. My strikes only went down to like 98.
I hope that they're wrong. But, yeah, I saw like the first 60 of that just in passing. So I know exactly. I knew that it was something that was way out of the money. And I don't think it's tied to anything else. I actually do think it's somebody that let's hope they're hedging and they're happy to lose it.
I will.
And they don't. And that they don't have some sort of, and I'm following your logic here, that they don't have some sort of relationship with anybody that has the last name Trump.
Right. I'll tell you one way, how can I put this properly? One clean way you might want to do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I was trading in the OEX, and you saw some day when things, this is after 87 crash, when people were very concerned about units. The day before that, it was all just deltas and that kind of thing. Through your risk. But then they said, okay, we don't care. Even if it's $40 bazillion out of the money, you can't be short more than 400 contracts or 500 or whatever, how much money you had in your account. So what I would do in the pit, if all of a sudden I saw something running down, and I'd say the OEX was 400 or something, or say 300, I would buy if the 240 puts. You know, I never dreamed we'd be down, you know, 60 points. If they were at a 16th in the book and there was like 800 of them in there, and I wasn't a big trader then, but I would grab all 800. Right? So,
yeah.
If we did continue down, the thought never even crossed my mind that these things were going to be in the money, right? I mean, somebody could panic and pay an eighth, which makes I'd make 800 times 6.25, which is way better than a sharp stick in the eye. But what it did, Russell, is it gave me the ability. As we ran down, if somebody really paid up for another put over that, I could sell it and not be naked. At least I'd have something below it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had the 240s and somebody paid like a dollar for the 260s, I could sell them, and all I'm done there is I've just sold the spread. I haven't sold, you know, Naked Entity down to zero. So the worst I could lose then is $19, which wouldn't be good, but still I have something. So my guess is if this guy is, if he's a trader like I was, or still am, hopefully, what he wants to do is he wants 30, he might be short a bunch of puts, and he just wants 64,000 puts to bat stock between now and Friday. So on a day like today, when somebody pays a dollar for the, you know, for the 98 puts, he can sell them.
Exactly, yeah.
So guess what you think I did? I mean, once in a while, I'm still, even at my age, I can be a little clever.
Mm-hmm. I said to JD,
in case these people keep buying these 92 puts, let's put in a 3/16th, a 3 cent bid for the 96-92 put spread. And damn it, if we didn't get 355 of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I split them up to the guys that do my discretionary stuff.
So Tuesday, yeah.
And so the break even for the guy who paid 25 cents for the 92s is 91.75. My break even is 95.97. Now I still do not expect to make, well, I mean, if the spread's 12 cents this morning. Oh, it's 12 cents last night. It'll be a lot more this morning, but I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to hang on to it for 3 cents. And, you know, I'm not hoping for Armageddon, but I mean, I'd much rather have that spread than I would those points.
Yeah, that's, I'm actually, I pulled it up while you were talking. They started paying 8 cents for them in the morning, and they finished up, and they went all the way up to 25 cents.
Yeah, yeah. I saw 100. And you know what happens?
It looks like the way it got executed, it looks like just desperation, like, we got to get this done today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the first 64,000 was a print. I think the first 64,000 was a print of like 18 cents or 19, something like that. Then they were an 18 cent bid forever once in a while. But then you got everybody in the world has got the software, obviously like Dr. J and you and me. But then I saw people actually buying them. And I'm like, what are you buying those
other
for?
Other people going along because somebody does something.
Because somebody did something. And so I saw somebody in one of the groups I'm with, they paid 26 cents for 100 line. I called and I said, "What are you doing? Buy the spread for five cents for God's sake! I mean, there's a chance it might make it to, you know, 100 or 96. I don't think it's making it to 92.
I mean, this is like a 25% drop or so
in 4 days. In 4 days.
The software I use. The one frustration I have is that it does month and year together, and then it puts the date after it. So I saw this April 20th stuff over and over again, and I just automatic, which isn't even the third Friday, but I see April 20 on my software. I'm like, oh, well, they think this is going to happen in 3 weeks. I didn't realize this was April 3rd.
No, these are Fridays.
Until somebody that's very astute and spends more time analyzing and watching the market than I do pointed it out.
Yeah, well,
that would be you.
I would have.
Good Lord,
I would have sort of understood it on the regular expiration, but Friday. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they really think something bad's about to happen.
Or they're doing it just so they can sell all their
stuff. They're hedging. Yeah. We're going to think that they're just buying some really cheap insurance just in case.
Well, if you bought them at 18 and you had all the knuckleheads going after you to pay 25, maybe you sold 50,000 of them out for a dime profit or 7 cent profit.
That's very possible.
That's real money.
They went ahead and traded around and did a little bit better with what they were doing, but I wonder if there's a way they could have done this and hidden it a bit.
That's the nice thing about the options market. You can't hide it.
Well,
you could flex it or something.
Sort of, but it's harder to hide it than in options in the stock market.
Right.
There's too many of us that are watching. And there's more variables than just volume that might change around that give us a heads up that somebody's doing something like this.
Well, it's such an outlier. You know, 24 hours.
This one was definitely, that 60,000 lot, I think. The reason I was familiar with it was the biggest single trade of the day.
Yep.
Whenever I checked in about midday yesterday.
Yeah, it was red lights everywhere, wasn't it?
Yeah. The Russell futures are down 5%. Is that a limit? Are they down limit?
I don't think there's a limit on the Russells. Maybe there is. Yeah, it might be. I actually got 5.7%.
They're at CME now, so they're very, highly it's very lucky.
Well, you know, you're talking about the rut. Well, I got the IWM is down 5.2. So I'm guessing the Russell future probably is down a limit. It's got to be.
it's down like 5.03 or something like that on the screen right now.
I don't have the future up there, but so what else is going on, bud? What is the well, I wanted to see whether you agreed or disagreed. I was looking at the Fed package.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks to me like it's a package that assumes a 30 or 40 day halt in the economy. If it becomes 60, I don't think they've got much left to you.
You think that's about all they can take care of?
I don't think they can take care of that. My buddy David Parks writes in that if I'll get it for you here. I don't want to read it to you. By the way, you're on the Stocks and Jacks list, right?
No.
Well, we'll have to put you on there. Someone,
you don't invite me to series, which I assume is... Well, series better be with us when all of this is said and done.
If the Fed keeps buying at the pace of Treasury buying, we'll own the entire Treasury market in 22 months.
In 22 months? That's awesome.
That's a lot. It says if you were to look... If you look at the New York Fed's list of the Treasury securities that are being submitted for sale by Wall Street trading houses versus the amounts the New York Fed is buying, you'll see that Wall Street is puking up Treasuries in something akin to projectile vomiting.
That's awful.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you listened yesterday, but Brendan, who's our expert on municipal financing, and then you have people coming out and saying, like Trump, interest rates are zero. We should have a $2 trillion infrastructure program. That Brendan said nobody's buying at those numbers. I mean, the Fed's buying the stuff to keep the rates there.
But they're the only ones that can.
But
yeah.
you're not going to go out and have an insurance company wing you, $5 billion at 1% for 30 years. I mean, you're not going to do it.
Probably don't have other countries wanting to buy them because they've got their own problems right now.
Well, insurance companies pay people 3%. So if they lock up a 1%,
oh, I know,
for 30 years, they just locked up a loss. That's
well, we got to show them how to sell calls against some stocks.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how that wouldn't work out very well for them either right now. I'm just very hopeful that we all stay away from each other. This thing gets done in the next month or two. Because if it doesn't, I do think that, much like 2008, we're looking at a second leg down and a nasty second leg down.
I'm thinking, Russell, that it's funny. I hate like hell to criticize. Although people can criticize me all the time. Matter of fact, I criticize myself. So I guess, but people,
you do. I've heard you have both sides of a conversation before.
Well, because whenever you make a trade, you and I know
you got to. Yeah,
because if you ever buy something, the dude who's more than willing to sell it to you, it's not like he doesn't have a brain, he or she, right?
Yeah.
So you sit there and go, okay, if I think that IBM is a screaming buy here, why is somebody willing to give me all I can handle? What is he seeing that I'm not? Right. So.
Right.
It's part of our DNA, right?
I can just easily
be the seller.
But it's what's kept us in this business as long as we've been able to stay in this business.
Right, exactly. And I just normally when people come out with charts and they start talking about, well, whenever we had this kind of bear market, and by the way, on a 48th day, normally it's a buy and it goes right back up. Every one of these things is sort of different, Russell. And I'm lobbing this out there for. Plus, if you talk indices and you talk S&P points or Dow points, you're going to be, I think, okay no matter what you say eventually because it is an index. But if you're talking about stocks, for the first time since, I don't even know, maybe 9/11, for the first time, when you bet on a stock now, when you buy a stock, you are betting on it. You're talking about, is this thing going to survive? We're not talking about, are they going to have two or three bad income quarters or maybe four? It's not the debate where you say three and I say four. That's an easy debate to have. But I'm talking about if we're seeing planes with eight people on them and it's October, these guys are not in business. We can't print enough money to keep them in business. That's not happening. I mean, there's no way. I mean, and if oil stays where the guy in the Permian is getting, $5 a barrel because of the basis risk, it's not 20, for those guys, it's 5 to 7 or 8, maybe, if the guy's sitting next to the roadway or the railroad head, or the railroad tracks. And that many guys are. So if those guys stop paying the banks, they're gone. It's not like there won't be an oil business someday, but the stock you own, or maybe the bank they owe that you own, you're toast. Your bank's toast.
Yeah.
This is a different, this is a much more dangerous game than just a normal, hey, we had a bad quarter last quarter, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, no, it's and I've been, you often ask what am I saying to the students. We basically, the lecture I did yesterday was on issuing debt and, you know, the factors around what people expect the yield to maturity to be and whatnot, and what default risk. And, you know, often we do these things where we've got, okay, we've got a recession, we've got a normal economy, and we've got a boom economy. And here's what we think, here's what we think the business conditions will be. There's nothing in there that talks about stopping the world for 3 months.
No.
You know?
No.
It's just not. And, yeah, I've been using this to teach a little bit. Without, you know, making it sound like Armageddon at the same time, because you don't want to scare everybody to death, but it does not look really good right now. The only thing, I'm actually trying to avoid the news to a certain point because it's so depressing, but I do check the new confirmed cases numbers every morning, and they're not encouraging. I know some of that is a function of testing, but
a lot of it is.
A lot of it is, but I'd just like to see that number at least level off. I'd like to see it not, you know, jump up in another few thousand.
I think you're not gonna see a level off for like a real long time, and I think you're not gonna see a level off till it's actually a lot better than it was.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on in Michigan, and how come I didn't hear about this?
Detroit is a serious hotbed, and they got into a couple of nursing homes up there, I believe.
It's like 120. Well, 120 deaths in Wayne, Michigan, 70 deaths in Oakland, Michigan, 63 deaths, or sorry, that was not Michigan, 38 deaths in Macomb, Michigan. All of these are like more than all of Cook County.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have, I was looking at that as well, and part of it depends on how quickly they implemented rules from state to state, but I felt like there's still some manufacturing that goes on in Michigan, and if you got one person that brought it into a factory, you know, I think that's why it spread so quickly in Wuhan. And that was my thought behind that one. I mean, and that's just me trying to apply some logic to a number that didn't make a ton of sense to me.
Well, we also have a really screwed up way.
They have no people, and yet they have more deaths than all of Cook County.
But is there any place you look and see the ages and everything on everybody?
I don't know.
I mean, Seattle.
I've seen it broken down at a much higher level, but not, you know.
I mean, Seattle.
And not like that. And, of course, it just takes one nursing home, and unfortunately that results in a whole, you know, it results in a spike in the numbers if just one nursing home gets hit. But, you know, my understanding is New Orleans is somewhat the same way as well.
Yeah, Louisiana is really bad.
Yeah. So, well, you also have.
I think it's, you know, and part of it's just how well did people do with reacting a little bit before the government told them what to do, and then how many people are actually listening to the government. My sister is down in Memphis, and she's been keeping her distance from everyone, but they have like a riverfront path, like we have the lakefront path down there. She drove down there to go walk some, and there were probably 400 or 500 people, none of them more than 6 feet apart, just hanging out.
Well,
at the park, because a lot of other things were closed, and she took one look at it and got in her car and went home. She thought it would be sparse and there would be people walking around. So, yeah, if you have places where people were not using the common sense, or even worse, the government's not going to tell me what to do.
That's where I am, by the way.
It's just going to make it worse.
I think the problem with this, Russell, there was a time you and Maddie were on the same page. And my pushback to both of you And again, you guys are probably right.
I'm not on any page. I'm just on the common sense page.
Okay, but you're
how does
we're just talking about the numbers.
Yeah, how does Michigan have more deaths than California?
I think that a lot of places, anybody who is one foot in the grave and one foot in a banana peel, if they get this, they're counting it as a coronavirus death, but that might have been something else. I mean, a lot of the other people that have died, at least they're putting on their the disease they had before they got it. You know what I'm saying? In Italy, every single person who's died that has the disease, they're saying it's because of it. Like, they wouldn't have died anyway. You know, that's a morbid thing.
Well, we're all going to die, Chief. Yes. So, so in that case, you're right.
You dance around this one, and you don't want to sound like an awful person, but if you just apply academic logic to it, unfortunately, if somebody brings it into a nursing home, and I've got a 101-year-old grandmother down in a nursing home in Florida.
Yeah.
And I go down and see her a couple times a year. And, you know, I can understand how even a bad round of the flu, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, the president and other people that are discounting the severity of the thing, but even, you know, a bad round of the flu probably exacerbates how many people pass away in the place that she's at.
You did not listen to yesterday's show. Kenny Colcari, by the way, this I want to run by you, Russell. Kenny just had it, right? Well, he thinks he had it.
Yeah, let's stick with facts at least for 5 seconds. He doesn't know if he had it.
He had the exact same symptoms for the exact same time as everybody's telling you that you get when you get it. He called his doctor on 3 occasions, and the guy said, there's no test. Stay home. If you feel like you're dying, go to the hospital. Don't come by me. So now he's over it. He says he still doesn't have a test. He's waiting for an antibody test. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say there's an awful lot of people that are not counted, all right, or not tested.
Well, so we know that.
We know that. And my whole issue with this making everybody go home sort of thing is that if the Chinese would have chopped and let us know this was going on in November and we had 25 cases in 25 cities here, I would have been the first one to say, everybody get your fanny home and stay there. If I'm 10 weeks behind and I have no tests and a million people have it already and I lock people up at home, unless I'm one of the people that's blessed by living by myself, I'm going to make it worse rather than better. And I don't think these guys have a clue where they are in this thing because they're not testing people. And even today, Fauci only wants people tested that are sick already. We know they're sick. We need to figure out what we're dealing with.
Tested ahead of time.
Ahead of time. And we still don't. Mm-hmm. And until we do, I think every one of these decisions they make is a decision without data. It may end up being right. It may end up being wrong. It's a random chance either way is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm okay with erring on the, and this is somebody that's starting their 21st day at home. I'm okay with the stay in place thing.
But you have a house. Like Audrey,
I know. I'm well aware.
I was talking to
one of my counterparts at Loyola, because we've all been in a lot of contact with each other. I probably talked to other professors more than I did when we were down there right now. And he lives in a two-bedroom in South Loop with his son, who's a senior at Whitney Young, and his wife, who is also a professor. And they basically have to schedule who's going to do quiet work when, just to, you know, because of the lack of space that they have for just themselves. Yeah, and I know from other experiences I've had in life that there are people that are living, you know, 7 or 8 to a space like that, and that's pretty tough.
What if grandma's living there?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and I've got somebody who's in our business who has moved home with their mother, who is around 80 or so through all of this, and they aren't going to go out either because they don't want to bring it home to mom.
Well, if we had, you know, if we had tests,
I know how fortunate I am. I get to keep working, and the worst thing is I just don't get to leave the house much.
Well, if we had,
I know
tests,
it's harder on a lot of other people.
Which we should have if the Chinese would have been up front with this thing, or if we'd have known this in October and we had tests. I'm going to guess at Loyola, before you sent kids home, you would have tested them all. And you would have said the ones that don't have it go home, the ones that do have it stay here.
Yeah, I do. We've talked about that. I totally agree that we probably, the way that we handled it with college kids, we probably could have been.
Well, no, you couldn't have done any different. You had no test, Russell. What are you going to do?
I know. I said if we had to test some stuff ability, if we had that ability, we probably would have handled it better with respect to what we did with college students.
Well, the Italians, I think.
I'm afraid that didn't help the situation.
No, the Italians, by sending everybody home without a clue how widespread it already was, decimated their own population.
Oh, yeah.
I hope we're not doing the same thing.
And of course, they all live right on top of each other as well. So.
Well, that's because Grandma can cook. Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
We have 30 seconds. How do you find a bottom? We'll continue this after the break. How do you find a bottom in an oil company here? I mean, what I'm trying to do is find the pipelines and maybe some of the refiners and people that you think will hang in there. But let's talk about this after the break. S&P futures down 91, NASDAQ futures down 224. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber. By the way, Russell, you guys are 6 feet away at home. Some guy last night came out and said, by the way, if you like cough downhill with the wind and you're near Lake Michigan and you're a big fat guy and there's a big cough, you need to be as much as 27 feet away. Does that put you in the garage?
I've been locked in the basement for 21 days now.
Okay. I thought he was going to say 21 years.
21 years. With the, yeah. The
dog? I've been locked in the basement. They leave meals and ring a bell three times a day, and I head up to the top.
Sort of like they do the lepers in Ben-Hur?
Exactly. God. You nailed it.
S&P futures down 89 and a quarter. Dow futures down 220. Dow futures down 827. Not good this morning. Over in Europe, same thing. DAX down 385 at 3.9%. FTSE down 210. 3.7%. CAC around down 179. That's 4%. Asia, Nikkei down 851. 4.5%. 4 seems to be the number. Shanghai, we're only down 15. That's 0.6%. Hang Seng down 517. That's 2%. Bonds, minus 0.09, so we're down to 0.60 10-year, a rate at which nobody will buy but the Fed. Very strange. The Bund down minus 0.49. And the Japan has dropped, Russell, to minus 0.001. So let's call that zero interest rates. Oil down 27 cents, $20.21. Brent down $1.07, $25.28. Natural gas, $1.66. RBOB gas, 53 cents. Gold up $2.20, $15.98, so still way below the $17.03 it was 3 weeks ago. Silver down 5 cents, $14.10. Copper down another 6 cents, $2.16. So any thought that the China's coming flying back, not so much. Russell, do you see there's like 20 million less cell phone numbers than there were in October over there? I don't think 20 million people have died, though. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still looking very, very good on our area expressways, roadways, and tollways. That earlier car fire down on I-80 at LaGrange Road on the westbound side is all clear, so no issues in either direction on I-80. But if you're coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford, it's been quiet all morning and continues to be quiet. Same for the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Northside expressways are looking good, too, as is Lakeshore Drive. Off the expressways, we had a fatal crash earlier this morning on Ashland Avenue on the south side between 70th and 69th Street, involving a bus and two vehicles at 6840 South Ashland, and that's been closed all morning for that investigation. Obviously, not good down there. Only other crash in the area is out in the western suburbs, Central Avenue westbound at Roddenberg Road. There is an accident. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early, cold, blustery day, just like it's been for the last, 6 months. We'll reach a high of 45 with wind chills in the 30s. Right now it's cloudy and 38 degrees downtown. Could see some sunshine this afternoon, but cold and windy temperatures. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 86 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 63. Chief.
The 69th in Ashland. It's kind of my old, way old turf, man. It's 71st in Ashland. There was this, used to be a massive streetcar barn that became a massive bus barn. And back in those days, the flexible coach buses that you see in all the old movies, those things were actually propane powered, believe it or not. So there was not much pollution coming out of them. And that bus barn was the most massive proton tank you ever saw in your life. Propane tank you ever saw. Talk about a potential hazardous thing. If some guy came over from Russia and wanted to blow up the south side, all he had to do was blow up that tank.
But yeah, I bet.
But it was, those buses were, they were wider than the ones now. They couldn't leave the county. They were too wide, and they had no spot for handicap or none of that stuff. They would just jam so many people on those things. It was something out of a, you had to see it to believe it. And, State Street, they would open up the back door to be a conductor in the back, so they jammed people on the front and the back. So you can imagine how many people they had stuffed in there all in their suits and everything, heading down Archer Avenue. It was really something. Russell, the
I want to stick with the China thing real
quick.
Yeah,
please. That's what I was going to ask you.
Well, you threw out there that 20 million cell phone numbers have gone poof, which, you know, I had heard the same thing. I think it's a combination of factors. One of them, I think some people just can't pay their bills, and they probably just shut them off.
So
but
when you and I
did see there's a guy named Ian Bremmer who does great geopolitical work. And he just doesn't tweet random stuff, or post random stuff. He noted that all the movie theaters in China have been shut down again.
Our buddy Greg,
he noted that, and I'm sorry, you know, they've got to be lying to us about what's going on over there.
Our buddy Greg, who gave us the Cub Reporter report in January from mm-hmm. his Uber driver. That there was already well over a million people infected and 150,000 deaths. That was in January. Well, I read something.
Yeah, I remember that.
This weekend I'm reading that in a normal day 2 years ago in Wuhan, the crematoriums would pump out 400 things of ashes. And that mm-hmm. they've been going at 2,000 to 2,200 now for like 150 days. So that's roughly the 150 to 200,000 this guy was talking about.
What are you guys talking about? Only 82,000 cases in China and only 3,300 deaths.
So there's now time for a question for Matt Weber. Well, when I listen to Channel 9,
I was talking about the Johns Hopkins site. Well, that's the Johns Hopkins site is what I check every morning, just to see what the new confirmed cases are, and I'm really hope it's kind of like waking up and having a short position on and hoping that you wake up and the futures are down. Because I think we're all rooting for this thing to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Although the reality part of us, it's kind of like the angel and the devil on the shoulder. The angel is telling me, man, this is going to be okay. And the devil's saying, no, dude, it's not going to be okay. If you break it out to the China only number, they go from, like 5 to 10,000 a day to about 300 in one day.
Yep.
That's just not possible.
Well, I also heard, this is all the stuff you hear.
Well, it is possible if you take anybody that even shows symptoms and you get rid of them.
Right. Collateral damage.
Yeah.
That would not be good.
No.
Talk to us a little bit, Russell, about who, and I'm not going to, I don't want you to speak specifically about your place, nor would you anyway. But the NCAA mm-hmm. came out the other night and said, for spring sports, they're going to give everybody another year of eligibility. So does that mean everybody on the Notre Dame and Loyola baseball, golf, softball team for the ladies, they get another year of school?
They'd get another year of scholarship if they stuck around.
But you're not.
If the team wants to keep them,
but you're not guaranteeing.
And if they want
to
continue to play, but.
Well, is it your opinion, again, I'm not telling you to speak for your place, this semester at Notre Dame, because they're in a semester thing, or this quarter, I don't see how, if you're on a quarterly system, you salvage this quarter, somehow say online everything's okay and not give people some of their money back. You got to at least give them a room and board back.
I don't know how the financials are working at Loyola.
And if you did, I wouldn't ask.
As far as everything else, I do know that I've heard that things are being returned with respect to meal plans and some other things, but I honestly don't know how the whole thing is working along those lines. I'm having a hard enough time keeping up with what I'm supposed to teach in the summer and the fall and how it's supposed to be delivered. That's why I'm talking to people at Loyola so much, because we're still formulating plans, and we've got actually our registration for the fall starts for athletes, it starts tomorrow, and then for everybody else it starts on April 6th.
Well, I mean, if you're
if you're an athlete at Loyola, you actually get a better choice of the classes.
Well, they always did that in Notre Dame too.
That's about the only
big,
which makes sense to a certain point, because you've got to work, everybody's trying to work around some practice schedules and some other things, so I don't have a and it's a small percentage of the population. I saw the eligibility thing, and the thing that, what if you're, What if you're like the kid next door to me who gets, we actually accidentally get his mail every once in a while, and he's hearing from Division I athletic departments every day because he is a very, he is a top, top golfer. He actually, they have a putting green and a chipping thing in their backyard next door to us for him. But he is an excellent, excellent golfer. Now, what, it's not so much, the people that get an extra year that are already there, but that's gonna pull scholarships away from the people that are getting ready to graduate high school.
Maybe.
You know, but it just depends on what people, to a certain extent, let's say that, you know, half of the people, decide they want to stick around college for free and take some graduate school classes or try to knock out a master's degree real quick because they get an extra year of eligibility.
I don't think that,
I think it's going to hurt. I mean, basically, you're taking a 4-year window and extending it to 5 years, and people on, in the middle will be okay, but people, coming into it, there just may be fewer scholarships available for them. Well, and if what you're really, if what you're really supposed to be doing at college is going and getting a 4-year degree, shouldn't you be done in 4 years and it's time for somebody else?
Yes. Well, what if you were hurt? It's the same thing, but it's yes and no. I mean, I don't think that Notre Dame is obligated to give the fifth year to anybody school-wise. If you
graduate. No, they're not. In fact, yeah. they're not obligated to give next year.
No, yeah,
Calipari, when Calipari coached at Memphis, he would just take scholarships away if he had some 5-star stud that was going to come in.
But most of your schools, I'm going to say Loyola and Notre Dame don't do that.
I would hope none of them would do
that. The NCAA form, where's Kevin when I need him, or Matty, you know, is I believe a renewable 1-year scholarship. That's the standard thing.
It is.
Some schools...
They can be taken away.
But some schools like Notre Dame, Stanford, if you stay in school and you just don't make it as a football player, I mean, they're not going to throw you out. You might go play baseball or basketball or something, not basketball necessarily, but you could go play...
I don't think a school like Notre Dame would do that. I think somebody like Memphis' former coach
There are people who do it. Sure.
And he did it.
Sure, there are people who do it.
Nick Saban does that at Alabama, for sure.
I know Saban does that.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is you are people, I guess I'm trying to ask the question, are the Irish going to try and make believe that this was a real semester with people at home and count it up just like nothing happened in terms of tuition, in terms of, yep, you got your sophomore year, second semester, you're good to go to junior year? I mean, or are we saying that this is so screwed up, even with the miracle of online stuff, it's not the same? I mean, if you're doing labs in chemistry, it can't be the same. Unless you're doing it in your kitchen sink. At some point here, we've got to say this is somewhat of a lost semester. I don't know. I'm asking a question.
For us, it's not a lost semester. And they've been bringing in, when I say us, I mean Loyola, and they've been bringing in experts to help people that have not taught online before. I'm an unusual case because I taught online with SIBO for 10 years. In fact, I've seen the reviews that kids put out about me, and they say I'm better online than in person. Because I'll do some online classes every once in a while if I have to travel for work. Credit-wise, it's just like every other semester. What we're more concerned about is if this thing is protracted and we can't and we aren't allowed to bring people on campus for the fall, how many people put off starting college?
Let me ask you a question. What are your biology and chemistry people doing?
I have no idea, man. I really don't know. I mean, I have a hard enough time keeping up with what we're doing in the business school. I do know that, I had a discussion with my counterpart at DePaul yesterday. When I say my counterpart, he is a consultant in the real world, and he's a clinical professor, and he's doing his PhD. I mean, he is the mirror image of me at DePaul.
Really?
Okay. And they've had an issue because they have some finance classes where people are supposed to use the Bloombergs in the Bloomberg lab, and you can't Bloomberg is very secure about how they do things. You can't get into the Bloomberg unless you're on campus, and you're not allowed on campus, and they're still trying to figure that one out.
Well, I mean, you sure can't go with a semester where we were able to pull it off in business and economics and sociology. You guys are now juniors, but you biology guys, you're still sophomores. I mean, you can't do that.
No, you can't. I don't know. I have no idea how you would handle, something like that. But there are some programs that have been online for some time. Admittedly, it's a lot easier to do it in the business school than in some of the other schools.
Okay, can we shift gears a little bit, Russell? I want to talk a little bit about the market. I never give investment advice for individual stocks and so forth. But I'm not going to break a rule because I still won't. But I'm saying we're in a game here, a game we don't want to be in, right? If we start talking about some of these areas, maybe airlines, maybe hopefully not airlines, but certainly some of these oil stocks, hopefully not mid-level banks because they'd lent to oil companies, those kinds of things. But if you were going to, because I've been dabbling around in here, if you're going to mess around and say, okay, I'm going to find some of these stocks that have gotten basically their ass kicked. You know, I'm talking about the Halliburtons, I'm talking about the OKEs, I'm talking about in the oil sector. I think it is incumbent to really get yourself diversified. Find the people that have maybe the pipelines, maybe have the refineries that are still going to be there. Right now, you're just not getting any refinery price or pipeline price. I don't know that you go for a company that's up to his eyeballs in debt in the Permian and is getting $6 a barrel. I mean, but I think you need to get 8 to 10. I've done this a couple times and it's worked out for me. And I'll just tell people what I did. And I did it in 2008. You got to get 8 to 10, be real small, and figure two of them you're going to lose, and hopefully you'll make it up on the other eight. And if you happen to be lucky and 9 or 10 make it, in 2 years from now the world's okay, thank your lucky stars. But I mean, you can't. I had a would-be client. Guy had massive concentration issue in some oil company down in Houston, and maybe wanted me to protect it, but it's really hard to protect a one stock deal, Russell, you know that. I mean, especially if the guy wants, if the stock doubles or taken over, he wants that money too. So, if you just keep buying puts in them, it just drains. But
you're going to give up a lot of the upside.
Well, the dude had, the stock was 40 and now it's 9. And now it's like, well, not only do I have a potential customer blown up, but I don't even know how to help the guy. I mean, I don't know. Is this thing going to make it at 9? I have no idea. I mean, he knows the company better than me, but these are really tough spots. And go ahead.
You basically, one of the most, I love when the academic stuff kind of crosses over, but one of the things that I've had to talk about from home to the students is how venture capital firms work. And you almost have to have a venture capital mentality with an industry like that right now.
Right.
Where the ones that do survive are going to double or triple for you because they're so distressed right now. And that's why it's best to spread it out. Now, figuring out which ones are going to be okay and which ones aren't, I think it's beyond anybody, even the Goldman Sachs analyst that focuses in on them right now because there's so many different factors. But that's the kind of mentality that you have to take. And you got to assume that the oil and gas industry will survive in the U.S.
Well, yeah,
because it's critical to the nation. We can't operate without it.
Well, we're going to need it
to be at full capacity when we come out of this thing, and everybody's playing catch up on visiting each other, and everybody's playing catch up on going to work.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, the last night I was at the Tripoli Tap, my famous, my local watering hole that Maddie and I go to once a month. And I said, what I'm concerned about is there's always going to be a Tripoli Tap. I just want to come back and have Nick still be the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what you're talking about, right? I mean, there's going to be a United Airlines. I just want to make sure that the people who now have the United Airlines stock, not like last time, come out being the owners. That's not assured. I mean, there's going to be a Halliburton, but when the stock's down to $6 in some of these bonds in some of these places, there's one of the guys with this new firm I'm with, I do some part-time stuff for, he does a lot of bond stuff, and he's like, you know, man, some of these bonds are, he was telling me the Boeing bonds before, you know, they started talking about helping them out, we're like 60-90 one day, and one of them traded at 74. These bond things are very illiquid, Russell. I mean, they're very
illiquid. And nobody's touching them right now.
No, nobody's touching them. And, you know, and the Fed can talk about, I mean, the weird part of it is that's why it bothers me so much, this president's apparent lack of knowledge of how the money thing works. Now, he could just be faking it and telling people stuff, but when he comes out talking about interest rates are zero like yesterday and we need to have a massive infrastructure program because we can get the money for free, doesn't he not realize that his only buyer is the Fed?
He may realize it, but he's not saying it.
I hope he realizes. Which is worse? He realizes it and he lies to us, or he doesn't realize it?
Well, I don't think... Is he lying through omission?
Well, he's making it sound like what he's really doing is print. Well, I think a lie of omission is worse than a lie. That's my Catholic upbringing.
It's intentionally misleading. Absolutely.
You know who had the best best ever, in my opinion. Again, it's always my opinion. Best ever, and Manny knows what I'm going to say. Lie of omission I've ever heard.
Which is
Sammy Sosa. In front of Congress. I did not break the laws of the United States and the Dominican Republic, and I've never had an injection of steroids, which tells me he's afraid of needles and he's popping pills in Mexico.
I thought he said something like, I never injected myself.
Well, whatever it was.
It was something like that, but the details may be a little off, but the point is well taken.
Yeah, he never said a steroid never got in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, I think some of them did, for God's sake.
Something did.
Yeah, but just a few. But no, I mean, how far can we drive this? Everybody wants the Fed to go in for liquidity on a certain night the commercial paper market falls apart. Everybody wants them there, including me. But after 20 nights, 40 nights, whatever it is.
How much longer can they do it?
How much longer can they do
it? Well, they can keep doing it as long as they get paid back.
Who says they are?
Because commercial paper is short term.
Right.
But as long as they're going to get paid back, they can continue to loan that money short term. The problem is if you have two or three big you have a big institution that's using commercial paper to make payroll right now, and they don't get the revenues to pay back the 1 week loan, that's when we start to have some real trouble.
Well, how do they mean?
Unless the government just gives them another 1 week loan to pay back the 1 week loan at 0%.
But they're going to end up with somebody's loans that aren't going to pay them back. I don't think they have the personnel to just go in the market and start buying stuff and trying to figure out who's good and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you? I don't know. Maybe they do.
The thing is, typically we would take a look at what's going on in the bonds and the different companies. But when you have a 60-90 spread, it's impossible to tell that as well.
Yeah, and
it's hard to figure things out within the market because it's not the day-to-day stock market liquidity. It's the liquidity and the stuff that most people don't pay attention to.
Right, stuff that nobody knows about.
When we're in a situation like this, everybody just says, well, everything's illiquid because of the market volatility, not this is really illiquid because the company is running out of cash.
Well, you hope it's the first one and not the second.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Russell, thank you.
I got an email from my, for the home delivery and stuff, I got an email from my Porsche dealer that said if I wanted to buy one right now, they'd deliver it to the house.
Now we're talking.
All you got to do is get in there with the alcohol, wipe down the steering wheel, and it's all yours, bud.
Yeah, they'll leave the keys on the seat, and
you're good to
walk
go
back to the dealership.
And you leave the check on the driveway.
Yep.
Take care, buddy. SP Futures down 87.50. NASDAQ Futures down 214. Individual stocks, we got Apple down 7, Boeing down 8. Everybody's down. Every stock in the Dow is down. Every stock in the transportation area is not a good morning. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.